Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we get started, I want to address something I said last time. I mentioned Rabbi Harold Kushner and his best-selling book by the title, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. In his book, the rabbi attempts to deal with theodicy, the problematic presence of much evil in a world created and ruled by a good, loving, and sovereign God. I told you that I reject the conclusions that he makes. But I want to be clearer than I was, that I do not fault the rabbi for taking up such an important and relevant topic. There is, without a doubt, a large audience of people wanting answers to the question, why do I suffer if God is good? We will be addressing this in a little bit in our current series, so stay tuned. Suffering, pain, tragedy, and death touch us all in one way or another. And so we naturally look for answers. We desire some comfort. That's why Kushner's book was so popular. Here's the problem. While he gets an A for effort, he gets an F for his answer. I fault him not for trying, but rather for content. A for effort, F for content. To conclude, as he does, that God is only finite and does not have the power to prevent evil and suffering, this goes completely against what God says of himself in the Bible. As we have talked about before and will do so again, God is infinite and God is all-powerful, omnipotent. He is extraordinarily capable of preventing evil and suffering. In many cases, he does. But not in all. In an attempt to provide answers to our questions and to help hurting people, we cannot go beyond the bounds of what God tells us in the Scripture. When any of us jump that boundary, we not only offend the living God, but we rob people of the godly comfort they so desperately seek. Rabbi Kushner and many others like him have done more harm than good. And in the context of our discussion on the goodness of God, suggesting that people are basically good, this totally contradicts what Jesus says in our text. He says, "No one is good except God alone." All right, I wanted to say that because I do not want to leave you with the impression there is something wrong with writing a book, in this case, to encourage, to help hurting people. Often on this broadcast and podcast, I try to offer sympathy and prayer for those of us enduring heartache and very real trouble. I trust you sense my shepherd's, my pastor's heart in caring for you. I also hope you find that my reaching out to you also comes with presenting as clearly as possible what the Bible says about God and evil. Here, we hunger for God's word to be our source for carrying us through all the trouble life offers each and every one of us. Let's keep seeking the God of all comfort by establishing ourselves in the truth of his holy and infallible word, which presents God as he really is. As another reminder, we also talked about how religion cannot save us. Participating in various religions, rituals, and the like is not what takes bad people and makes us good. Our single hope for being transformed from bad to good is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the good works that we do that impress God. Rather, it is the good works that Jesus has done to perfection and has applied to us by our faith in him that transforms our lives from evil to good, such that Jesus presents us as holy before our Heavenly Father. When religious rulers and leaders reject this, we must reject them. This is God's word on the matter, and only God's word stands. No one is good except God alone. Today I want to take us back to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18 to hear more from Christ. I'll read these verses. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." As we have emphasized in verse 18, Jesus tells this man, only God is good. That's the big insight. Also in verse 18, the Lord begins, "Why do you call me good?" What is Jesus' intention in saying this? Is he denying his own deity? Since we know that God is good, and we know Jesus is God in human flesh, then when Jesus asks, "Why do you call me good?" and adds, "No one is good except God alone," does this mean Christ is denying that he is God? And the answer is a resounding no. Jesus is not denying his own deity. So then, what does Christ mean by asking the man this question? This is even more important to answer once we learn that the man himself, by asking his question the way he did, was acknowledging that Jesus was elevated above all the other teachers in Israel, such that he associated Jesus with God. Remember how we defined the word good? It means good in essence and by nature, intrinsically good. So this young man acknowledges that Jesus is the highest good. By addressing him as good teacher, the man is saying, "You are a teacher of divine truth. You are unlike all our other teachers. I associate you with God." I agree with commentators who give this insight. The reason Jesus asks, "Why do you call me good?" is because he is challenging the man's understanding of the word good in relation to Jesus, in relation to God. The emphasis in reading verse 18 should be like this: "Why do you call me good?" The challenge goes to the man. "Explain to me why you think I am good." Given that only God is good, does the man using good applied to Jesus mean that Jesus is God? And if the man affirms Jesus is from God, then is the man willing to obey Christ as Lord? Is this man willing to do what Christ commands him to do? You see, this is not a denial of Christ's deity. This is affirmation of Christ's deity. Our Lord answers the way he does because he wants the man to see the implications of calling Jesus good teacher. Jesus is omniscient. He knows all things. And the Lord looks right into the depths of this man's heart and sees what is really going on therein. Jesus knows the man is a sinner. He knows the man is not already good. He knows this guy needs Christ to be his Savior. And so the Lord challenges him. He questions him. As is common with Christ, he turns the question back on the questioner. And he gets the lad to think. If you are calling me good, if you are associating me with God who alone is good, then you are saying I am God. And since I am God, then you must obey me. You must do what I say. Sadly, as we have already seen in the rest of the passage, this rich young ruler does not do what Christ says to do. Instead, he rejects Jesus. He refuses to follow Jesus. And verse 22 of Mark 10 says, "But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." The man's trust remained in his riches, not in Christ, his only hope, at salvation. This text affirms in more ways than one that only God is good and Jesus is God. Therefore, we need Jesus in order for us to be good. The man was right to call Jesus good teacher, but he was wrong to turn away and reject Christ's invitation to follow him. There are still many people, I would say not the majority, but still high numbers, who do believe Jesus is good. They might even accept that Jesus is God, but still they will not follow him. Or maybe that person is you. I hope and pray you will see the implication of acknowledging Jesus is the good God. If you agree with this, then there is a demand placed on you. It is now time to stop following your sinful, worldly ways, to pivot in genuine belief to Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Give him your life. Ask him to forgive you your sins and follow after him all the remaining days of your life. I wanted to include Mark 10, verses 17 and 18, alongside the parallel passages in Matthew and Luke, in our series on the goodness of God, because I too want you to see that God alone is good. Jesus, who is God, is good. We are not good, and that's why Jesus is our greatest good. We all, myself first and foremost, need Jesus. He alone is our Savior. He alone is our Lord. Dear friend, put your trust in him alone for your salvation, and he will save you, rescue you, and redeem you. Well, to learn more about what this means, contact me today, mark@godisministry.org, and God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. These addresses will soon be repeated. We'll leave Mark 10 here and learn more about how God is good next time on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.